Blog Talk Radio.
Do not be afraid. The power of the Holy Spirit is with you. Is with you. Amen.
Come now, let us reason together. Question everything. Welcome to Sacerdotus Radio, a show on God, faith, the Catholic Church, science, philosophy, reason and otherworldly issues. Join the host as he tackles today's errors and refutes the fallacies of atheism and misconceptions on God, the Catholic Church, and science. And now here is your host, Sacerdotus.
Hello, welcome to Sacerdotus Radio. Today's topic is going to be on the whole Baltimore situation that's going on now, the Baltimore riots and the whole situation. For those of you who are not familiar with the whole event that's going on, well, just like with Ferguson and Staten Island and other places throughout the United States, another minority, African American, was killed in not in a confrontation with the police, but while in custody, actually. So it wasn't like with Darren Wilson and Michael Brown, who was shot by Darren Wilson during an altercation. In this case, the African-American, a young man, was apprehended by the police and was being taken into custody and died while in custody. And this young man's name was Freddie Gray. And I'm not too sure what he was arrested for. Probably, according to what I have seen, I wasn't able to confirm it, but he apparently has several arrests for narcotics and things of that nature. So most likely there was a drug bust going on somewhere, and he either was part of it or was taken for out of suspicion, probable cause. I'm not too sure about that, the details about that, but. But according to what happened, he apparently lost his ability to move. He became paralyzed, and he was actually saying that he can't feel his legs or move his legs, I believe. And he was taken, he was being dragged by a group of police officers, and he was requesting medical assistance, medical help, medical aid. And apparently the police officers denied it. They didn't take him to the hospital or not. They just took him and placed him in this armored patrol car vehicle that houses or that stores several people that are arrested, and has a partition in the middle that separates the people being arrested. So obviously the presence of this vehicle suggests that it was something big that was going on. The police suspected a lot of people to be arrested, so they had this big vehicle in order to gather as many people as they can. I believe 10 or so, or 5 on either side of the partition, fit in this van, in this vehicle. So anyhow, that's where the uproar, the outcry came out, was the fact that this young man was arrested and he ended up paralyzed. His spine was severed, and he had multiple severed parts of the spine. And he was denied medical attention. And immediately after this, the news broke out, the police officials, the people that arrested him, the chief and whatnot, were not able to give a clear answer as to why Freddie Gray had his spine severed and lost his ability to move his legs or his lower body. I'm not too sure the details about that. I do know that he was paralyzed, he was unable to move, and why he wasn't given medical attention, specifically since he was requesting it. And obviously, if it's an emergency, it doesn't matter the person's being arrested or is a criminal or convict or not, he or she has the right to get medical attention, of course, with supervision from the arresting police officer or the security guard or police officer, the jail guard or whatever they call it. And this was not the case. This young man did not receive it. So he was at his funeral. The body was laid to rest on Monday. And shortly after the funeral, all hell broke out in Baltimore, which is the city, the hometown of the Baltimore Orioles. And the police were even attacked. So unlike Ferguson, New York, and other places where not riots broke out, but, well, in Ferguson, there was a riot, but in other places, there was just civil unrest, and they were just throwing bottles and rocks and things like that. It didn't get to the extent that it did in Baltimore. But in Ferguson, yes, there was rioting and whatnot, but to my knowledge, the police weren't attacked directly. They weren't beaten up. They were thrown at with things, yes, but it didn't get to the point that it got with Baltimore, where the people actually launched at the police. They ran towards the police and attacked the police. And several police officers were injured. I believe one of them suffered a lot of broken bones. And not only police officers were attacked, but also the journalists, the news people, the media, they were attacked. I've read some news stories of journalists who had their cell phones, iPhones, Android phones, Galaxy phones, which they used to keep in contact with the station and to look up research things. They were snatched out of their hands. These devices were snatched from these reporters' hands. And it just got out of control. And some people, thank God, some good Samaritans came in and retrieved the phones for them. But other journalists were attacked physically. They were hit with bottles and other objects. They were punched and hit. One journalist and his cameraman were attacked, and they stole the camera. Another reporter, they bashed his face with something. I don't know if it was an object or probably he was beaten up with a fist or whatnot. And he had multiple gashes on his forehead. And there's an image of it on my site. The blog post dated April 28, 2015. And he just has all this blood gushing down, spilling down his face. As he was attacked, and they stole his camera. So it really got really ugly. Stores were looted. Police cars, patrol vehicles were destroyed. Set on fire. Other vehicles were set on fire. And even the Baltimore Orioles organization was affected, and they sent out a tweet on Monday saying that after consulting with Baltimore Police Department, they decided to postpone the game. They were supposed to play a game against the Chicago White Sox at their baseball stadium in Baltimore. And again, on Tuesday, they had to postpone the game as well. And I believe they're going to play on Wednesday. But for the first time, this game is going to be without an audience, without people, without paying fans. So for the first time in almost 200 years of baseball history, we're going to have two Major League Baseball players play the game in pretty much a stadium with empty seats. Nobody will be allowed, no fans, nobody, just the team on the field, the umpires, and the people that take care of the field, I believe, because they need to clean up the bases and whatnot after so innings. But this was done out of concern for the violence that's been going on, and also the curfew that was placed at 10 o'clock for Baltimore. So this is very fortunate indeed that all of this is going on, and that even to the point that it affects Major League Baseball, that the Baltimore Orioles have to postpone the games and have to play a game without fans at Camden Yards, which is their official stadium, their ballpark. And that's pretty much how bad it has gotten in Baltimore. And as stated, a curfew was placed at 10 o'clock to 5 a.m. And so far, it seems things have calmed down a bit. it's not, and what I mean by calm down, I mean that it's not getting to the point of rioting and looting, at least from what I can tell from watching it on the media and different news networks and whatnot. But there's been some controversy because the mayor from Baltimore, Stephanie Rawlins Blake, some people are accusing her of inciting the violence because there's been a press conference. In my opinion, it clearly looks like she said that that the city is giving space for protesters to destroy things. And I'm going to play the clip of it so you could hear it for yourself and decide for yourself if in fact she did say that. And take a listen.
And I've made it very clear that I worked with the police and instructed them to do everything that they could to make sure that the protesters were able to exercise their right to free speech. It's a very delicate balancing act because while we tried to make sure that they were protected from the cars and the other, you know, things that were going on, we also gave those who wished to destroy space to do that as well. And we worked very hard to keep that balance and to put ourselves in the best position to de-escalate, and that's what you saw.
So there you have it. She said that we pretty much giving them space to destroy. I mean, what exactly does that mean? If you're telling the protesters that they have space to destroy, a protester protests. They do not destroy unless they become rioters. So it's clear that this mayor obviously misspoke or is extremely stupid, for lack of a better term, because that's a horrible thing to say to the public, especially during a situation so tense as the one going on in Baltimore. How are you going to tell the people, the protesters, that we're going to give you space to destroy things? It's just, I mean, ridiculous to say that, very irresponsible. And because of that, possibly that's why the people went out of control and started destroying things, and several officers were hurt, journalists were hurt, and it's completely uncalled for. There's ways that you could protest and voice your opinions without resorting to violence. Take Dr. King's example. And Gandhi and people like that, and most importantly, Jesus Christ, the Lord, who was always a pacifist, who promoted peace and never resorted to using violence in order to communicate ideas and opinions and whatnot. And this mayor, Stephanie Rawlins Blake, obviously misspoke, and I believe that she should be held accountable for that, because again, that's something very irresponsible to say to people, to go out there and give you space to destroy. I mean, come on. Baltimore's a city that's a century or so old, and it was built by hardworking people, not only from the past but also from the present, who are still working in the city and helping to continuing it and make it better. So to go and say to, we're going to give you free space to destroy, I mean, that's just horrific. And as I stated, the violence got so bad that the police were attacked, and according to some news sources, they claim that the police started throwing bricks at teenagers protesting. I cannot confirm that. I'm just going by what I read and heard, but that's what's apparently been going on during the riots. Buildings, cars, and other property were set on fire, and several police officers were severely injured. And as expected in a riot, businesses were looted, things were stolen, and it was just awful. It's just awful watching it on the news. A city in like Baltimore, that's well known in Maryland, and a state that was founded as a colony for Catholics, to become this lawless city. It's just sad to see. that in our nation, my nation, my beautiful country, the US of A, that we see this going on. I mean, this is a nation that's supposed to be the lead in the world. And we have so many people as a boiling pot of different ethnicities and races and sexual orientations and religious faiths and no faith and no religion, etc., etc. And we all manage to try to coexist the best we can. That's the beauty of America. And to see this violence and all this going on, it's just, it's sad. It's heartbreaking. And it's like a repeat of the Ferguson riots and some smaller riots that took place throughout the United States. After the decision of Darren Wilson's not being indicted, and also with Pantaleo in Staten Island, who was not indicted for the death of Eric Gardner and whatnot. And of course that caused outrage because people felt that justice was not served. But at least those situations didn't get as bad, unless it was Ferguson. Of course it got really bad there, but for the most part in New York it was pretty calm. Just a couple of people got arrested, somebody threw paint or something on the commissioner, things like that. But it didn't get to the point where Manhattan was on fire, as what happened with Ferguson and with Baltimore now. So it's unfortunate, and I really do not know where we're going to go from here, because this seems to be something that's going to be going on every time it involves a police officer and a minority. Something needs to be done. A discussion needs to be held. Police need to be retrained. Community leaders need to come out and speak. The governor of Maryland, Larry Hogan, had to declare a state of emergency and brought in the National Guard just to help restore order. Now, for the most part, things have been calm, and the police have remained calm, and so it's a much different atmosphere as what was found in Ferguson last year. But it's still unfortunate that we have to see these things and a curfew in the United States of America, the land of the free, or curfew. I mean, it's just unfortunate that these things are going on. Schools and other things were canceled, and it's just a bad reflection on the community, on civility. I mean, I understand that people are upset. You know, I'm upset, you know, just watching the video of this young man being dragged like an animal. I mean, it bothers me. I mean, taking away that he had a criminal record, because that's not, nobody deserves to be killed over a criminal record. People make mistakes. We have to find out why these young people resort to crimes, and most likely it's because they find a way out. They get stuck in the problems of society, and they don't know how to escape. In New York City, growing up in the Bronx, the young people, we called it the struggle. That's what we call it. And other urban areas called it the same way. That we have to go through this struggle, that we have to fight to survive. It's almost like the survival of the fittest. And they find no means to support themselves, to help themselves, help their family, and crime seems to be an easy way out. I mean, the mafia has been doing it for hundreds of years. They have been doing it, profiting over crime and bullying and extortion and so forth. So, of course, it's in human nature to survive and to do whatever it takes to survive, especially when the conscience is not well formed. So we see these poor areas, these areas that they feel hopeless, and the young people want to survive, they want to live, and they feel that their government is not helping them, their community is not helping them, and the crime, selling drugs, all that is easy pocket money, unfortunately. If you had the option of making $5 or $7 an hour in a fast food restaurant versus selling dope on the street, and you could make $1,000 to $15,000 in an hour, depending on how much dope or drugs or whatever you're selling, which option would you choose? Most likely, if you are desperate, you're going to choose that $15,000 an hour or a day option, because it's quick money. So we have to put ourselves in the perspective of these people who are upset. You know, they feel hopeless, and they resort to crime. And obviously, there are people out there that have mental problems, and they can't help but to do bad things, some mental disorder. But it still lies on the society. Society fails these people. In New York City, in Boston, and different cities, we have a lot of homeless people who are mentally ill, and they're just left out there. And then when they attack somebody or they push somebody in the subway tracks, everybody starts saying, oh my goodness, why nobody did anything? And it's because they don't care for these people. We don't see the government, the community, doing much for these people to care for them, especially those that are mentally ill. And when it comes to people in low poverty areas in the city, in the urban areas, nobody pays attention to them, to the kids who are struggling in schools, to the problems that are going on in the family. And this is a failure not just for the government and the community, but also for the church, because we should be out there and getting to know the people and seeing what's going on with them, how we can help them. And Pope Francis has stressed this a lot, that the priests should not be in their rectories sitting and watching soap operas. They should be out there meeting the community and knowing the needs of the community and working to fix those problems in the community. And let the community know that when the government is not doing much or enough, the church is there to step up. And we're seeing a bit of that in Baltimore now. There are a lot of religious leaders from different faiths stepped up and went to the protests and told them to calm down. They spoke out. They told them to calm down, and things are calming down. Now, obviously, there's a small group that still likes to instigate and whatnot, that rebel that seems to enjoy being the bad boy, so to speak, out there. But at least when people see these leaders, clergy and whatnot, out there speaking, telling them to stop, that it really aids a lot. It really helps in calming things down, so that we could get the discussion going, and not just a discussion, but action going. Because it's not enough to just sit down and have a meeting and discuss poverty problems, education problems, employment problems, racial problems, problems with the police and how they handle the public, or specific groups in the public. It's not enough to just sit down and talk about them. We have to do something about it, because obviously there's something going on. These people that are protesting are mad, are not just mad because Freddie Gray was killed, or Michael Brown, or Eric Garner, etc., etc. They're mad because most likely they experienced a police situation where they felt disrespected, and they were just angry at how they're being treated. Now, this is not saying that police are bad. I mean, we need police, and police are the first people to come when we need help. But there are some people out there that I believe should not be police officers. People out there who are immature, who cannot handle holding power, and they abuse their power. And we've seen it many times. Sometimes they turn off the body cams and they beat the suspect up, or they plant contraband on the suspect, as we saw with the police officer in North Carolina who seemed to drop the taser near the man that he killed. I cannot remember his name, but he dropped the thing to make it look almost like if the man, to fit his story, that he said that the man tried to take his taser. And it was caught on video that he just threw the taser near the body. So obviously there's people out there that should not be police officers, and so that has to be addressed. The exams that are given, the P1 or P2, they are given the personality survey tests that supposedly is supposed to give departments hiring an evaluation of the candidate that's applying for the police officer job, to see if this person is mature, emotionally mature, and whatnot. Obviously, the test is not working as well if we have these certain individuals in uniform who do not know how to represent their city in their uniform well, with dignity, with professionalism, and see it as a position to abuse others. Now, obviously, in the community, there are bad people. There are people who are criminals, of course, yes. And they should not be allowed to get away with their crimes, of course. I'm not saying that, but we have to address both sides of the issue. It's not just a police problem, and it's not just a community problem. It's an us problem. We have to fix society, the way society is being structured, the way society trains police officers, the way society takes care of the education of the young people, especially in urban areas, the way society handles employment of people and whatnot. That has to be addressed. Otherwise, we're just going to continue seeing this every couple of months. Somebody gets killed by a police officer, he turns out to be black or Hispanic or whatever, and all hell breaks loose. We're going to continue seeing this over and over and over again. Until eventually, God forbid, there's just going to be anarchy all over the place, and people are going to want to bring down the United States government. Because the Constitution just does say that that if the government fails you, that it should be replaced and in place a new government that works. So I mean, I don't see that happening in the near future, but there's a possibility of that happening if things keep on going the way they are, especially with statistics showing that Hispanics are eventually going to take over as the main ethnic background in the United States. So we need to start fixing the problems now before things get out of control. If these police shootings, these incidents with police officers take place, because especially with situations like this, because with Freddie Gray, he wasn't shot, to my knowledge. He was not shot. He was just being taken into custody, and his spine was severed, and he later died. So obviously something's going on there. The guy wasn't even shot, to my knowledge. And he just died in custody. So that has to be really looked at as to why it happened. What did the police officers do? And why is there so much cover-up, it seems? Which I think is ticking off a lot of people. The police officers seem to not know what happened. Their version is pretty much, oh, we arrested him and we didn't know what was going on and he died. Obviously something happened for this young man to have his spine severed. Something serious happened. And just to go and make up a story saying that we just arrested him and he happened to die, it's not going to rub well with people. Especially with minorities who may have had a bad experience with the police in their lifetime. So we had to pray for Baltimore, pray for those involved, pray for both parties, pray for the repulse of the soul of Freddie Gray and all those people who were killed, and pray for the police officers, because again, not all of them have these power issues. We had to pray for all of them because Christ told us to love our enemies as ourselves. Not calling the police the enemy, but those officers out there that may present themselves as the enemy by being unprofessional and so forth and whatnot. And also within the community, to pray for those people in the community who present themselves as an enemy to the state, so to speak, as criminals, people looking to harm others just for whatever reason. So let's pray for the Baltimore, and I hope things get to normal. I hope the discussion continues and that these things are resolved. And we have to fight for peace, but with peace, not with violence. Thank you for listening. God bless and may we keep.